Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. I just don't know what to do next. That's a statement we hear on almost a daily basis. I just don't know what to do next. I lost the only job I've ever had. I just don't know what to do next. If I don't catch up all these past due mortgage payments, they're going to foreclose on our house. I just don't know what to do next. Our retirement income has been cut in half. I just don't know what to do next. My husband wants a divorce. I don't know what to do next. The doctor says he's tried everything, but nothing seems to be working. I just don't know what to do next. My son won't get a job. He lays around all day and parties all night. Have you ever said or thought about saying, I just don't know what to do next? First thing, you need to breathe a little deeper. You're not alone. And the good news, and there is good news, is that there is an answer. How can we be so certain of that?
The Jeremiah.
Word of God. The Word of God.
That's right. Jeremiah 33, verses 2 and 3 in the New International Version. This is what the Lord says. He who made the earth, the Lord who formed it and established it, the Lord is his name. Call to me, and I will answer you, and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know.
Hallelujah. Read that again, baby.
This is what the Lord says. He who made the earth, the Lord who formed it and established it, the Lord is his name. Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know.
Wow. Wow. I bet that's good in the
classic
Amplified
Bible. That's right. Jeremiah 2 and 3 in the Classic Amplified says, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things, fenced in and hidden, which you do not know, do not distinguish and recognize and have knowledge of and understand. I like the fact that he says, I will show you things that you do not yet distinguish and recognize or have knowledge of, meaning our knowledge and our understanding are going to expand.
Hallelujah. Elohim, the Almighty One, will show you things that you have no knowledge of. It doesn't matter whether you understand something now or not, because God will show you great and mighty things which you previously had no knowledge of.
The Message Bible translation of Jeremiah 33:3 is literally awe-inspiring. I'll tell you marvelous and wonderful things that you could have never figured out on your own.
Wow. Now, here's what I hear this. Yes, but Brother Harold, does the Bible give specific financial advice? If you're asking that question, then you've never read Ecclesiastes 11:2. Ecclesiastes 11:2 in the New Living Translation.
But divide your investments among many places, for you do not know what risks might lie ahead. You know, another thing, honey, is when you're in a desperate situation like the ones that you listed up above, I mean desperate situations, it's really a time to be pressing that word and getting in before the Lord and saying, Lord, you've promised this in your word, and I'm standing on your word right now. Because I need to know what to do next. And you promised me that you would let me know. And, you know, as you say, when people say, well, does the word specifically say, well, you know, you should go down to so-and-so's house and do such and such or go to the investment place. The point of it is that those things will drop in your mind, maybe even at unexpected times. But you will know that you know that you know that that's God speaking. If you don't know that you know that you know that that's God speaking, it may not be him speaking.
And it comes when you're consistent.
Yes.
In your time with the Lord. And not just going to him when there's an emergency, you know.
But he will answer you in an
emergency.
He
will answer you. He will.
He will. If you are consistent and you seek his face, you will find it.
And he does talk about finances.
Yes, he does.
He does. You know, we always counsel people to never put all their eggs in one basket. There needs to be diversity in a person's investment portfolio. For instance, figure out your basic living expenses on a monthly basis. This includes fixed payments, mortgage and car, as well as recurring expenses, food, gas, electricity. We recommend that you put at least 3 months of your basic living expenses to a money market account to which you can have ready access without penalty. Maximize your contributions to an IRA account, a 401k, or other qualified plan. The tax consequences make these important choices. Based on your age and income needs, your investment should also include precious metals, annuities, mutual funds, stocks, tax-free bonds, and maybe even real estate. There was a season of 2 years when we lived in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, where I had the time to monitor the stock market on a daily basis. I would buy and sell various stocks based on information that I learned from financial advisors who had a good track record. However, the main ingredient in determining whether or not to buy or sell a stock was my peace factor. I prayed for godly wisdom and the unction of the Holy Ghost to know when to buy and when to sell. Do I understand everything there is to know about investments? No, I don't. But I do know. I do know how to pray and then follow the leading of what advice is right and what's wrong. Honey, our financial advisor has always been the great I Am. When it comes to investments, you can get a little different look at Ecclesiastes 11:2 by reading it in the New International Version.
And this is the way it's worded. Give portions to seven, yes, to eight, for you do not know what disaster may come upon the land.
Both of the translations that we read are making the same point. It's wise to diversify our investments. Here's the bottom line. The scripture gives us excellent advice on investments, but chances are it slides by the way. Well, it slides by too many believers because they're just not tapping in to that great financial advisor. When you just don't know what to do, go to the Word of God.
Jeremiah 33:3 in the New Living Translation confirms what we've been sharing with you. It says in a very down-to-earth language, ask me and I'll tell you remarkable secrets you do not know about things to come.
You know, we continually marvel at advances in technology. Frankly, I'm amazed at the lightning quick speed with which you can find an answer to a question on the internet. Just type the keywords on Google search, hit the enter button, and you have a wealth of information at your, well, at your disposal. But there is a problem. You ever noticed that you can find conflicting information on the same subject? Multiple writers or authors present information from their perspective. You might agree or disagree with the thoughts being expressed. Basically, the information you gleaned from a search on your computer was entered by a human. So the information is wrong. So if it's wrong, it's because it was entered by someone based on their perception of the facts. In other words, and honey, people have probably heard this, garbage in the computer, you ain't going to get garbage out of the computer. The mind of man is fallible, but God is not. When we err in not seeking the irrefutable truth to life's most difficult questions from the Word of God, well, kind of like it says in
Matthew 22, verse 29 in the New International Version says it this way. Jesus replied, you are in error because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God.
There's only one source of information that's completely reliable. That's never wrong in his advice. when you just don't know what to do.
2 Chronicles 20, verse 10, in the Message Bible says, we don't know what to do. We're looking to you.
On more than one occasion, I've encountered, well, maybe I say it this way, I've encouraged myself with the words of 2 Corinthians 4:7 in the Message Bible.
If you only look at us, you may well miss the brightness. We carry this precious message around in an unadorned clay pot of our ordinary lives. That's to prevent anyone from confusing God's incomparable power within us. As it is, there's not much chance of that. You know for yourselves that we were not much to look at. We've been surrounded and battered by troubles, but we're not demoralized. We're not sure what to do, but we know that God knows what to do. We've been spiritually terrorized, but God hasn't left our side. We've been thrown down, but we haven't broken. While we're going through the worst, you're getting in on the best.
Wow.
No matter what we go through,
God knows what to do.
That's
what it says. When we just don't know what to do, get into the Word of God. Get in His presence until He begins to direct your path.
Exactly. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6 in the Message Bible. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's advice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track.
When we just don't know what to do next, God always does. Here are 7 practical ideas of what to do when you don't know what to do next. Number 1, decide that anxiety, worry, and fear are not the answers.
Amen.
Let me say that again. Decide that anxiety, worry, and fear are not the answers.
Number 2, get into His Word and His presence. And let me add into that, when you don't feel like you want to get into the Word and pray, that's when you need it the most.
Absolutely. Number 3, get your eyes off the problem.
Number 4, focus on what you can do next.
Number 5, and do it now.
Number 6, recognize you're not alone in this battle.
And number 7, be flexible, willing to change and adapt as your circumstances do. I want to go back to 2 Chronicles 20:10 in the Message Bible, when it says in part, we don't know what to do. We're looking to you.
Amen.
Honey, that's the bottom line.
And one of my favorites is Psalm 25:15, where it says that He will, I always get up on this one. He will, when our eyes are on God, He will keep our feet from being caught in the net.
Yeah.
So it's like really the point being in Psalm 25:15, I encourage you to read it, is that it has to do with your eyes being on the Lord, not on the problem. Because
Hallelujah.
You need to be looking for the solution, not going round and round the problem.
Hallelujah. And this is true in every area of our life. We kind of keyed on the financial side of it, but it's true in every area of our life, the ones that we mentioned at the beginning of the call.
Yes, and amen.
Just focus on the Word.
If we're faithful every day, it's so much easier to get in touch when we run into a barricade.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you're not alone.
That's right.
Since the day you got saved,
He is right there with you.
Amen.
He's much more, you know, able to take care of your problems than, what do you say, Sister Marvelous and
and
Brother
Wonderful
down at the Tabernacle.
That's what
you
I'm
know?
Saying.
I mean, we want to run to a friend, but the point of it is only if they're going to get down on their knees and pray with you and pray the Word.
That's it.
So that's the best friend you got.
Hallelujah. Make sure you join us tonight at 6 p.m. Eastern for Sunday Night Live. You'll be blessed by the teaching. And if you've been blessed by this teaching or all the other ministry outreaches that we do, go to heraldherring.com up at the top where it says sow a seed. Just ask God what seed He'd have you put in the ground. Do what He says. That's all we ever ask. And until tonight at 6 p.m. Eastern, and again tomorrow at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.